Good and joyful Sabbath, brothers and sisters, to everyone. And all the participation this morning is so encouraging. And I know your Elohim, your Father, our Father, he rejoiced in what you shared. He rejoiced to see you make the Sabbath a delight. You've assembled on the Sabbath and you're participating in the Sabbath, all bringing something to the assembly of Elohim, to the congregation of Elohim today. Thank you. We thank you all. We rejoice all as one in your service. Thank you. We will continue to see how we can serve and be a better congregation, to be that congregation which our Messiah, the anointed Savior, built and is building and is sustaining and will present for himself without spot or wrinkle, without any blemish, that we can be found without spot, without any blemish. So we will continue reading in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Last Sabbath, we covered Acts chapter 13, verses 36 to 47. And today we will continue from there and end the chapter. I trust we will be able to end that chapter today. And we saw Acts chapter 13, verses 44 says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." So there was opposition, we saw. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of Elohim should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And keep that in mind, again, how many times we've heard them say, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." It's a very important thing to pay attention to, because there are some out there that would make us think that the apostles abandoned the entire Jewish people, which is not true at all. That's total falsehood. As mentioned last Sabbath, the Master, the Sovereign Yeshua, before his death and resurrection, he told his disciples, "I send you, and when you go, whoever receives your peace, stay with them. But whoever rejects your peace, your shalom, shake the dust of your sandals as a witness against them." Okay? So that was the instruction, and this is done towards anyone who rejects the word, not just Jews. Whether it be Gentiles or Jews, the disciples will do the same. So, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So in the scriptures, so we will see that the idea that the apostles abandoned the Jews is falsehood. And I must not forget to say, part of the work of the congregation of Elohim is to attract the Jewish people to the Jew first and the Gentiles. It's not a matter of preference. It's a matter of order. And part of our work is to draw in Jewish people. So that means our conduct, the nature of how we do things, must be such that all can participate in, whether we are of any ethnicity, any color of our skin, anything natural about ourselves, all must feel welcome. All must feel spiritually comfortable. And what I mean by that, by the nature that Elohim created, put in man, that pure nature must not be contradicted. That pure nature that Elohim created in all human beings, wherever they're from, in the congregation of Elohim, they must feel comfortable. The only thing that mustn't feel comfortable in our midst is the sinful nature. But anything created by Elohim, any language, any expression created by Elohim must be welcomed and comfortable within the congregation of Elohim. So let's continue. So verse 47 says, "For so hath the Eternal commanded us." So we turn to the Gentiles, we turn to the nations, he said. "For so hath the Eternal commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." That's Isaiah 42, verse 6. Let me quickly turn there to that reference we mentioned last time, but didn't read it. I want to incorporate that a little bit today. So we could look at the context of what was said. I'll read from verse 5. Thus says Elohim, the Eternal, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, He that gives breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Eternal, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and give you for covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. Okay, so that's that reference in Isaiah 42, verse 6. And there's also Isaiah 49, verse 6, which has a similar statement. Quickly turn to there, and I'll read from verse 5. It's interesting, right? And now saith the Eternal that formed thee from the womb to be his servant, to bring Yaakov again to him through Israel. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Eternal, and my Elohim shall be my strength. He said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give also thee for light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. So we see how this is the context in which the prophet Isaiah said these things. However, the being servants and disciples of Messiah, they are the apostles being of his body. They speak the same prophecy pertaining to the Messiah. They apply to themselves as well. And we saw how the Messiah, when he rose from the dead, said, I send you, and greater works will you do than I did. So whatever Messiah did, in general, not in everything, not that we should die and rise again the way he necessarily did for the sins of people, but we all, as disciples of Messiah, have to participate in his general function of what he did. And one of the big things that he was a light to the Gentiles, and so must we be. Remember, we're no longer Gentiles. We're no longer of the earth. We're in the world, not of the world. So we are among Gentiles, but we are not Gentiles. We are children of Elohim, and we are to be a light to the Jews also, because we are functioning in the manner of Messiah, in the ways of Messiah, in the paradigm of Messiah. The things that he did, we have to do in some degree as well. So this prophecy from Isaiah, the apostles applied it for themselves. Why are they turning? Why will they turn to the Gentiles? Because they say, for so hath the Eternal commanded us. You understand? So they've applied the command from Isaiah to themselves because they are servants of Elohim. So we have to do the same. We just can't sit on our hands and think somebody else, it's someone else's job. No. The congregation of Elohim is an organization, and we have to function as an organization, not a man-made organization, and not like the quote-unquote churches we've been in. That's not how the congregation of Elohim works. Congregation of Elohim is a work of hope, faith, and love in Elohim, where people who love Elohim, have his spirit dwelling in them, understand by the Spirit, that just makes perfect sense. Not only are we commanded, for so hath Elohim commanded us, but we have that faith. If I know a brother or sister believes in the same thing, it makes perfect sense that I should unite with that brother or sister. It's just logical. And so we have to have that strong sense that we need to get together and we need to be a light, and we have to know by the natural things that if if it's a very dark place and it's getting darker, and one person has a flashlight and there are a lot of people that needs to know where we're going, we need to understand that all of us who are lights have to turn on the light and put the light together. We need to put that light in such a way that it shines the most brightest. And how do we do that? We need to come together to coordinate, to understand, and to plan how to share that light. We just can't be lone rangers and people that think I'm going to go to the mountains and hide away from society. No, we need to put our heads together, not under a man, meaning a human being, but under Messiah. Because we have that one spirit working in us where we agree to do good in hope, faith, and love in and for Elohim in Messiah by his spirit. So verse 40, so to be a light unto the ends of the earth. So we must work towards that goal. We must work as though wherever we are. Some of us are in New York. Some of us are in Massachusetts. Some of us are all over. We have brethren that reached out from us from Germany, from and other parts of the world. So we must pray and unite our hearts and spirit to work together simultaneously as much as possible. That's why Elohim gave the Sabbath day as a day. He gives appointed times. He doesn't want people gathering all over the place there. He wants us to be organized. So he gives us the Sabbath where we could come together to work together, to praise and have a plan for the coming 6 days. Remember, every 6 day we must do good. So we come together. Okay, what's our plan for this week? Because we want to be effectual. We don't want to fail. And as we unite our lights, unite our efforts, we will have success in proclaiming the good news and converting hearts and seeing good things happen in this world. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. When the nations heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the sovereign. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the eternal was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back a little bit. So we see that when verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. So why were they glad? Were they glad because, hey, the apostles rejected the Jews, so now they're choosing us, as if it's something prideful? No, they're glad because they believed in what the apostles were doing. They knew what the apostles were doing was correct. What does it say? They were glad and glorified the word of the eternal. It's not a cult of personality where, ooh, this is Paul, he is awesome, or this is Barnabas, he's great. No, this is about understanding, having proper understanding of reality, of the real things of real life. It is being able to see the world around you in its real sense, not getting lost in the darkness and evil. That's just a trick. That's just a tiny portion that's really insignificant. It's only significant to us, but we don't understand how, when I say insignificant, tiny compared to the ways to the light of Elohim, which is eternal. But we're surrounded in the darkness, and we could become fearful and despair. But when we have the proper understanding, which is faith, where we could see the truth, the evidence of things, then the hearts rejoice. I thought all this time I had to serve these evil idols that have done nothing for me. I thought all this time that I was hopelessly subject to an evil government system. I thought I was subject to be doomed to this problem or that problem or this problem. Without proper understanding that there is an Elohim who lives and who is kind and loving, beneficent, who will answer our prayers. So they rejoice. The Gentiles, when they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of Elohim. And as many were ordained to eternal life, believed. Let's stop. Ordained to eternal life. Ordain eternal life. They were ordained. Remember I said you cannot lose your salvation? You cannot lose your salvation. Don't doubt this. You cannot be ordained by Elohim and lose it. Because again, he saves us by seeing us way before we were created. He foresaw everything that we would do. And when he foresees, those of us he sees wants to do what's right are given to doing what's right. It's not are able. He's not looking to see who is able to do what's right, because none of us are able to do what's right to the level necessary. But in his grace and kindness, he's looking to, he looks into the hearts, way into the future, to see who will want to do what's right. And those, because he knows the end from the beginning, he knows a person's, when a person comes to life, and the person's, when the person departs from life. He knows what they will want to do. So all of those that he knows will want to do what's right, he saves, he ordains unto eternal life. Again, he doesn't control their actions. He doesn't force them to do righteousness, but he knows they want it as one thirsting. Like, I mean, think about it. That's the description. When a person who's thirsty, if you offer them water, will they not take it? Of course they will. So he looks at all those who thirst for righteousness' sake, right? Who seek, all those who have the attitude of in the what's called the Beatitudes listed in Matthew chapter 5. He looks for those internal characteristics, and those who possess those characteristics will be saved, and they will never lose their salvation, because they will be saved by Elohim, who foreknows them. So never be deceived by those who are trying to teach things that they don't fully understand. We mustn't get lost. So they were ordained to eternal life, to everlasting life. We're ordained to eternal life believed. Verse 49, and the word of the eternal was published throughout all the region. So then when we're teaching, we mustn't ever separate ourselves from those that are seeking the truth, because we learn at different intervals in different ways. So we must be very patient with each other. As long as a person is willing and not disruptive, not blasphemous, not contradicting, as we saw some of these did here in verse 45 and 46, we must not turn people away. I mean, what spirit is this that says, I will not fellowship with you because you don't say things in Hebrew, or you don't say things in Greek, or you don't say something in Chinese or whatever language? That doesn't make any sense. That's not what the criteria is. The criteria is a love for Elohim, a love for righteousness. That's the criteria. So the word of the eternal, verse 49, the word of the eternal was published throughout all the region. So we must work together to spread the good news. It's not a vain thing. Look how the word of Elohim has changed you. It can change others. Will everybody listen? No, not everybody will listen, but many will. And that's what we're concerned about. We're not concerned about those who are not listening. And when I say concern, I'm saying our efforts. Our efforts are not put towards those who are not willing, those who are not listening. When people don't listen, we turn away. We don't burn our bridges necessarily, but because we know Elohim can touch their hearts. But until that happens, we move on. Those of us in New York, we have to work real hard to get the message of repentance spread throughout all of New York. We need to try to get the Holy Day message spread throughout all of New York. That's what we have to try to do. Whether we succeed or not is not the concern, as long as we're not being slack. Because it is one waters, one sows seeds, another waters, but the increase is of Elohim. What Elohim does with our efforts is his choice. But we need to put our heads together and work wherever we are. So any state that we're in, what's our job? It begins by finding the brethren like us, brethren of like mind. Find your brothers and sisters of like mind. Do it prayerfully. Ask Elohim and you will see he will do it. Ask and it will be given. You will see it. You will see that you don't have to be without fellowship. You will have brothers, and there are brothers and sisters that are not so far away from you. Pray and you will see it happens. Or you might be that instrument who will be an instrument in bringing about a brother or sister. It could be disappointing, the efforts we put out. I know that, and I thank a sister for praying for me that I should not be disappointed, because sometimes I felt disappointed. But don't be disappointed in your efforts. Don't worry when people say no. In time, one or two or more will say yes, and you will have what? One, your brother or sister. in Messiah. So, and the word of the Eternal was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. So we see here that those Jews that were jealous, not jealous, that's the wrong word. Jealousy is not wrong. Jealousy is recognition that what's rightfully yours should be yours. That's nothing wrong. But envy is wanting what belongs to someone else or that what doesn't belong to you. So they were envious of them. And so they stirred up the devout and honorable women. Devout and honorable women, what does that mean? Not devout to the things of Elohim. They were focused on their own business, whatever it is. It's not devout and honorable in terms of Elohim, but it's devout and honorable concerning carnal things. Remember, this was a pagan city. This was a Gentile nation, and they had Gentile ways of their idols and worship. These honorable women, who knows what they, who they serve and what they were doing. So they stirred up these women. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means they brought to the attention of these high-standing women in their society that these men, Paul and Barnabas, are doing things contrary to the prosperity of these women. Things that can turn away their glory. Things that can turn away their means of commerce or whatever it was that they were doing. So they felt threatened. They were touched about whatever their gods were, whatever idols they worship, however they earned their living. And I don't want to go into this, but if you read about how the pagans lived, especially the organized, the wealthier pagans, it was really heathenistic. It was really idolatrous. And we'll see more, a hint of more of this later on as we read the book of Acts. So that's what was going on. So they felt threatened, their authority, their status, all of that they were convinced were being threatened. And in a way it was being threatened. And the chief men of the city. So all these people were convinced that the doctrine of the apostles and the apostles themselves, Paul and Barnabas, was a threat to their social status and way of life. So they expel them from their coast. They threw them out. And what did they do this time? Verse 51. But the disciples shook the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Remember what I said. It's not a matter of Jew and Gentile. It's a matter of who will receive the word of Elohim. Now, in this case, the entire city, the leaders at least, and the high standing people threw them out. So the apostles shook the dust off their feet. Again, they will no longer teach these particular high-standing Gentiles or those Jews who raised this persecution against them. They've abandoned them. They will abandon them. Does that mean now if Elohim decides to touch their heart, they will, of course, they will gladly receive them if they repent, but their job is done. As far as ministry, their efforts end here. They will put no more effort to reach those people who have rejected the clear teaching of Elohim for idolatrous practices, for gain and self-status. So we need to function the same way. Well, we don't reject people over things such as language and things of that nature because we receive all who show love for Elohim, his son, his spirit, and his people, no matter where they are in their walk. As long as they love Elohim, Elohim will not abandon them. Elohim will see them through and give them success and salvation. But those people, when they hear the truth and for the sake of money or of pride or status and reject the truth, we do not pursue things like that. We don't put our efforts to try to convince people to do things like that. No matter what they do, we don't stand to try to turn them from doing anything. Any evil whatsoever, because from this point on, Elohim will start pouring judgment on those people. Yes, that's why Yeshua told them, woe to you, so-and-so city, woe to you, Bethsaida, and so on, because they did not listen to the words of his disciples or his. And shortly after, in just a few years, those woes he told concerning Jerusalem happen, the misery that came upon Jerusalem when Rome was besieging that city. siege upon siege. Oh, it was terrible. And they were destroyed. And likewise to every nation, the same terrible thing happened and continued to happen. Rome being ransacked by other nations because of their sins. But to those nations that did repent, they were changed. They were blessed. And they continue to this day. But if they abandon the truth that they have learned, they too will be destroyed. Because Elohim will visit the nations again, generation after generation, until his kingdom comes. So they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. So I stop here. So briefly, we see we need to unite, work together, so we can have a concerted effort that's united to have the best impact possible. We must work wherever we are, because we're not alone. Wherever you are, whether you are two or one or whatever, we can help each other. We could give each other the resources we need to share the gospel, to have impact, to draw your brothers and sisters together into the fold. We know we must not reject anyone who loves Elohim and his son and his kingdom. No matter where they are, no matter how little their faith might be, don't reject your brother or sister that may say Jesus, or that may say God, or that may say Lord. These are not things to reject your brothers or sisters about. There are many who say Hebrew words, but deny the divinity of Messiah. Many who say words in Hebrew that are living in sin. So that's not what it is. It's a matter of a repentant, virtuous life, a life growing in the knowledge and true faith of Elohim. That's what it is. And we don't hold back people because their faith can't keep up with us. No, as long as they're trying, we hold on to them. And those who blaspheme against the truth for the sake of status or anything physical, we do not exercise any effort until Elohim says otherwise. So thank you very much for listening, dear brethren.